One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Football, fighting, and full or nonsense. The Stephen Townsend Podcast. Made in Manchester.
Right, so finally managed to get a podcast sorted out. So it took about 2 weeks longer than I was expected. Two people let me down on providing an intro, so I ended up doing it myself and fixing it all up myself. What do you think? Does it sound good? I think it sounds pretty good. So I think what the basic premise of all these podcasts is going to be is helping you guys out that want to watch the longer 30, 40, 50 minute waffles that I do, but can't because they're 30, 40, 50 minute waffles. And I'll provide an audio version of them as a podcast so you can listen to it on iTunes while you're working, while you're driving, whatever you're doing. In my old job, I used to listen to probably about 15, 16 hours of podcasts a week. It'd get me through the day, so I know how good podcasts can be for that sort of stuff. It's like a conversation that you don't need to join into, isn't it? So that's what I'm planning on doing. And for the first one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use my steroids one from Sunday's newspaper review. I'm going to stick that in so I can set it up on iTunes and stuff like that. So if you've heard this already, you don't need to listen to it again. There's nothing new. If you've not heard it already, then hopefully it's going to open your eyes a little bit, because I think there's a massive steroids problem that nobody's paying attention to in football, and I think the Premier League's probably going to be absolutely rife with it. I don't think it's just going to be a foreign problem or one of those Johnny foreigner countries is doing it. I reckon it's absolutely everywhere, and I think the Premier League is probably going to be one of the places where it's quite prevalent. So here's the audio for that. I also recommend that you check out a video by Hugh Wizzy on the exact same subject. He's gone into a lot more depth with it. It's a little bit shorter, but he's gone into a lot more depth and pulled out some of the people that have been done for stuff in the past. It's absolutely rife. It's hiding in plain sight, and I think someone's going to expose this very soon, and it's going to be extremely interesting when they do. So this is today's podcast. As I said, it's a very short introduction one, just to tell you what it's going to be about, and then play a podcast. And the reason I'm doing for that is so I can figure out how to get it on iTunes, because I can't upload everything and submit to iTunes without actually uploading something and submitting it to iTunes. So apologies that this is a really short one. We'll figure out how these are going to work in the future. Maybe I'll just do some ones where I'm talking to my computer like this on my own. Maybe I'll get some people down and we'll do some audio stuff. I don't know. We'll see how it goes, and if they're proving to be quite popular, then I might develop them and we'll do some more stuff with them. But at the moment, the primary function of them is going to be to help you guys out that want to listen to the 30, 40, 50 minute long ones that I do, but can't because it's wrecking your data or you're in work or whatever. You know, I know the score. So thanks for tuning in to the first one. Please subscribe on iTunes. It's also on a thing called Spreaker. If you've got a Spreaker app or you want to listen to them online, hit them up on Spreaker. You'll also be able to find them on StephenHowson.com, which is my website where I upload all the videos, albeit a little bit later than I should do. But I will put an episode link on probably in the top tab on the website, so you'll be able to get every single episode as and when they come out on the website also. I don't use the website enough. Maybe this is how we start doing it. Anyway, that's enough of me waffling for now. Here's the steroid episode from the newspaper review. So some stuff might not make sense because it's pre the Everton match. But whatever. Check it out. See you in a bit. Good morning, everybody. This is Stephen Howson, and this is your Sunday paper review. So I bought three papers this morning, but there's only one topic we're talking about, isn't it? And that is in today's Sunday Times, and it's the doping scandal. A British doctor claims that he has doped 150 sports stars. Now, I've been working on something for about 6 months where I was trying to do a documentary, trying to get people to talk on video about the drug problem and the performance-enhancing drug problem in English football. Nobody wants to go on camera about it. Nobody. And the way this has been done, it's been an undercover camera that's caught this guy talking about it and boasting about it. English football's rife with it. All football's rife with it, and all sport at the professional level is rife with it. If you think it's not, you're living in a fairy tale. Because the money involved, for one, means that everybody wants to get to the top. And Lance Armstrong said it the best. The Tour de France can't be done unless you're on drugs. And it's interesting because there's a British Tour de France cyclist included in this. Now, the Tour de France is so hard that you have to be on steroids to even compete in it. It might be safer to be on steroids to even compete in it. This actually doesn't give you a great deal of information, this article. Which makes me think that there's something else coming from this. And it doesn't say what's coming from it. The very interesting thing about it is there's one manager been outspoken about steroids in sport and in football and telling everybody that there are steroids in football. And nobody is listening to him. And that's Arsene Wenger. The funny thing is that this guy's 38 years old, this Dr. Bonner, Mark Bonner. He's 38 years old, which means he's probably had a medical license for 16 or so years. Which means that Arsene Wenger was definitely at Arsenal for the entire period that this fella's been a doctor. Now, he says he's treated Arsenal, Chelsea, Leicester and Birmingham players. Now, that might not mean that it's been sanctioned by the manager. That might not mean that it's been sanctioned by a team doctor or it's been anything to do with a whole team going through and getting hold of anything performance enhancing, or he's worked with the team to circumvent anti-doping laws. That doesn't mean that's the case at all. But it's funny that it's only during this guy's Arsene Wenger's reign that this guy has been a doctor. So Arsene Wenger might have been blowing the trumpet that gets some of his own players in hot water. Which does remind me of a quote from Paul Merson. Paul Merson said he was injected with a yellow liquid that gave him boundless energy at a Holiday Inn the night before a game. What the fuck is a professional footballer doing allowing himself to be injected by a team doctor without asking any questions about what that substance is the night before a game in a Holiday Inn? When was a Holiday Inn the sort of premises that you would expect to receive any sort of treatment if it was above board? So I've got to ask questions about that. He also said he was given a dark pill, which was a caffeine pill, which left his heart racing and this, that and the other. It may have been some sort of T5. It may have been some sort of other sort of stimulant. I don't think it'd just be pure caffeine. I think that's probably being a little bit naive on Paul Merson's part. And it's your responsibility as a professional athlete to know what's going into your body. Now, I might be a fat tub of shit right now, but I spent 5 years as a professional rugby player before I was released, aged 21. Being deemed not good enough to get a full-time contract. I spent 3 years with Salford, I spent 1 year with Doncaster, and I spent 1 year with Keighley. At one of those clubs, I was offered steroids. And when I said no, I was told, well, you're probably not going to make it unless you are, because everybody's on it. Now, that 100% is true, and that 100% happened to me. And since spoke to colleagues and peers and things like that, and the same thing is repeated throughout a lot of sports, because obviously a lot of you may know or may not know, I'm heavily involved with mixed martial arts. And everybody in mixed martial arts goes, everyone's on steroids. I'm not on steroids, but everyone's on steroids. That's what they all say. And the thing that what got said at rugby was the same thing. When you speak to people like, do you think there's a lot of steroid use in rugby? And they go, definitely. I'm not on them, but everyone else is on them. And I think the same thing applies to football. Now, football is a bit less. I think there's a lot less in football because the pure physical strength isn't required in football, which is what people generally associate with steroids. But I think what you're going to get in football is you're going to get recovery, you're going to get things like EPO, stimulants like that, which affect the blood. And I think there was an accusation of Chelsea doing a little bit of blood manipulation back in the early 2000s. I might be wrong on that. I will have to go and check that up. I haven't made any notes. I've just literally gripped hold of the paper and tried to waffle on from what's going in the paper. But let's get into this story, actually. So a British doctor has been secretly filmed describing how he prescribed banned performance-enhancing drugs to 150 elite sportsmen, including Premier League footballers. An investigation by the Sunday Times found that Dr. Mark Bonner charges sports stars thousands of pounds for illicit drug programmes. And then the cliff notes are, in the past 6 years, he's treated more than 150 sports stars from the UK and abroad with various banned substances such as EPO, steroids and human growth hormone, and the performance improvements were phenomenal. Now, I know that Leicester have been mentioned in here, and everyone's going to assume that Leicester are at the top of the league just purely on steroids. But I think you also have to look at their style of play, and I think you have to not just... I mean, I think you should be sceptical, but not so sceptical that performances can improve just like that, because they actually can. And it's the goals that are making it for him. I don't think it's down to pure, unadulterated graft. However, you can't deny the fact that Leicester's team does outwork a lot of other teams. And this was the accusation thrown at the Barcelona and the Spain teams in the early to mid-2000s. And the whole Dr. Fuentes thing. If you don't know what the Dr. Fuentes thing is, pause this video, go Google right now, because the Dr. Fuentes thing would have been a scandal that would have ripped football open completely. Now, Dr. Fuentes was a doctor for the Spanish cycling team, Barcelona, and the Spanish national team, amongst others. And Dr. Fuentes was embroiled in the Tour de France scandal, essentially, a lot of the cycling stuff, and there was Spanish cyclists found to be doping. Now, Dr. Fuentes had an office with all medical records and apparently a fridge full of blood that they could have tested and found out who that blood belonged to, which was blood that was being manipulated. And the accusation is that there were definitely footballers on there, and those footballers would have been Spanish internationals and Barcelona players. Now, it's not that you have to be in both camps. They might have been Spanish internationals and Barcelona players, not Spanish internationals who were Barcelona players. Obviously, that narrows it down quite a lot. Those players were exonerated because the judge in the case asked for all of the evidence to be destroyed. What the fuck sort of miscarriage of justice is that? So Barcelona and Spain get away with potentially cheating their way to World Cup and European Cup wins because a judge, a Spanish judge, obviously, didn't want that scandal out there for some reason. Apparently he was like, no, I'm just here to talk about the cycling, not interested in the rest of that stuff. There's no justice to be had there when he does something like that. So go Google Dr. Fuentes, incredibly interesting story and proof that there is doping at the highest level in football. And if you don't think there is, you're off your fucking head, honestly. So I'll carry on with this. So the main culprit here seems to be UCAD, which is the UK Anti-Doping Agency. And the issue seems to be that UCAD was given evidence about this doctor's findings and this doctor's treatment, essentially, of people and giving them steroids. And they did jack shit about it. So let's whip onto page 2. This is the nightmare with having the broadsheets, isn't it? Look at the size of that. It also mentions that there is a professional boxer in here as well, a British champion boxer, which I wouldn't be surprised that. As I said, mixed martial arts at the moment is going through a massive epidemic of drug use, and people getting suspended left, right and centre. And the other reason why people are getting left, right and centre is because they are testing them properly. They're testing blood, they're turning up at their houses in the middle of the night, they're doing all the sort of things that VADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, do to get you and catch you when you're doing steroids. A lot of the drug testing around football and around a lot of the other sports and what used to be in mixed martial arts prior to the new policy that they brought in, it was deemed an intelligence test. It was that easy to pass. You knew you was going to get at the most one a year. So after you've been done once, you've got 6 to 9 months where you can just fucking juice up and go bananas, and then you'll be fine until the next time you get tested. There's something in the region of about 10,000 professional footballers in Britain, and the FA only tested 2,000 samples last year. So you had a 1 in 5 chance of being tested once a year. Now that's pretty good odds if you're looking to try and get a few months of a little bit of something or other. And they only test urine, they don't test blood. And the urine test, again, is another intelligence test. There's ways to manipulate it and this, that and the other. When I was in the army, we used to get CDT'd, compulsory drug testing, once a year. And that would be random, and they would just turn up, they would lock the camp gates, no one in, nobody out, until everybody on the camp had been drug tested. So you think, oh, that's a nightmare if you're doing drugs. How are you going to get away with that? Well, quite easily, because you don't have to just be sat in one place waiting to go through your drug test. You're free to walk around the camp, you're free to do this, that and the other, until you have to go and do a drugs test. I did a drug test on behalf of someone else, and you're like, how do you do that? They have people that are watching your cock as you piss. So how do you get away with that? Well, this lad had been taking some recreational drugs. He comes to me with a tiny little bottle. It's actually a bottle of alcohol cleaner for a whiteboard. He asked me to piss in that for him because he knew he was going to piss hot. I pissed in it, and then he must have tipped it out or something along those lines. I don't know. I didn't ask him, actually. A couple of years later, that lad was found and kicked out because no one would piss in a bottle for him, I guess. But there you go. It happens in the forces. There's people every year get kicked out of the forces for recreational drugs and for steroid abuse, although it's more likely for recreational drugs. But it's a urine test. A urine test is a piece of piss pardon the pun, I didn't actually mean that, to pass. Diego Maradona passed urine test after urine test using fake cocks, using little bladders that you squeeze out with clean piss in them. It happens on a... It just happens constantly. There was a couple of MMA fighters actually that got done for submitting non-human piss, which they basically used cow piss or something along those lines as a substitute, which they're obviously using some sort of prosthetic penis to get around the drug test invigilators. But urine is beatable. The ones that aren't beatable or are less beatable are the likes of your blood test, which is what the UFC is doing at the moment. And that's what needs to be brought in if you want to get drugs clean. I think I read one recently that UEFA conducted a study, and they only conducted a study of 800 samples. 800 samples is nothing, is it? And you think how many professional organisations and professional footballers, don't just think about first teams, which on average are about 25 people. You've got under 21 squads, you've got under 18 squads, under 16 squads. These are still professional athletes. So you've got probably around 100 players at each professional club that should be subject to drug testing. And a UEFA tested in 1 year only 800 people. That is probably 10,000 in England. So how many is there across Europe? Maybe a million? Probably not that many, but maybe there's several hundred thousand, I would have thought. 200,000-300,000 professional footballers in Europe, I would have thought. And you tested 800. 8% of those tests, 7.7% of those tests came back with elevated testosterone. Elevated testosterone is linked with human growth hormone or just purely taking testosterone. And the reasons for that, recovery and increased aggression and a number of benefits for taking testosterone. So 8% is a massive amount, isn't it? If you knew that 8% of all footballers, this is 8% of the sample as well, so it might be higher, it might be less if you took everybody. But 8% of those tested, near enough 8%, rounded it up, 8% of those tested are probably taking steroids. And this is still a urine test, so these are the people that are failing the intelligence test. It's absolutely fucking rife with it. And the only way you're going to stamp it out is if, one, there's a desire to stamp it out, and I don't think there is a desire to stamp it out, and two, if you start testing blood, you're not going to catch people by taking piss. It just doesn't work like that. You've got to take blood. That's the one that's going to really throw it up, and then that's the one that you're going to see exactly what's going on in the blood. You can see it in the UFC. The sheer number of people now getting caught, despite the fact that they know they're going to be tested on an increased amount, It's just absolutely crazy. Anyway, back to the article. Let's see if we can find anything else juicy in this article. I actually don't think it is. That's one thing that... This might be quite interesting. It was reported that there have been number of Chelsea players were taking banned sports drugs during his time at the club between 2001 and 2007. That's quite an interesting quote. I think you should get hold of this article if you can anyway, because there is quite a lot of text in there, obviously. I'm not going to read it all out on here. There is a lot of text going on in that article, and I think this is a subject that's going to go on and on and on and on. And I really want to get into it, because I think that this is a subject that needs tackling. People are just so in the dark about it in football. If I speak to my dad about it and I said, Name some drug teach, he's going to say Ben Johnson, he's going to say Maradona, and he's going to say Lance Armstrong, and he's not going to consider the fact that there's quite possibly a very significant percentage of the Premier League, I'd probably say 10 to 15, maybe 20% of the Premier League is probably, I would have thought, taking some sort of performance enhancing drugs. And it's not necessarily all just steroids, and I don't think you can just look at players' physique and say he's on steroids, because it might not be the guy that's looking right, say Ronaldo, that needs to take steroids. Ronaldo is absolutely dedicated, obsessed, and incredibly vain. And I think those three things can lead you to looking like Ronaldo all the time. I think maybe the player that might need to be taking EPO is the one that's come back from pre-season a little bit overweight. Think Colo Torre when he was taking those diet pills that he got banned for. Maybe it's the ones doing a bit of recreational drugs, because let's face it, cocaine is absolutely riddled all over the league. And if you think that's not the case, then you're not going out to the right places of a weekend, or maybe you are going out to the right places of a weekend and you're just not seeing it. The sport is absolutely filthy. I'll leave it at that for now, because I think we can go into this, and probably will go into this quite deeply hopefully with some sort of evidence, because there's not a great deal in that at the moment. This video needs to come out, and there's going to be a lot of fallout, and I think a lot more journalists are going to get onto it. So this is a good thing. So let's give some props out for who's wrote it. Who was the guy that's part of the investigation? Let's give him some love. And it is... they've not even given a guy a name. That's out of order, isn't it? Unbelievable. They haven't even named the guy who's wrote that. Or maybe there'll be something more comes out when someone puts their name to it. All right, so the next thing we've also got for you, today's Sunday Mirror, and we've also got for you the Sun, because the Sun's always great for absolute nonsense, isn't it? So, the thing that caught my eye here... obviously, interesting to read Kane talking about Tottenham have now blown it. They're 4 points off and give Leicester a game in hand. Leicester can now go 7 points clear. Can you imagine that? I can't believe that, but there we go. The thing that caught my eye here is, I'll just show you that one there. So we've got Roy Rooney to start in red in the Euros. And the back page of the Sun. Ruan's an auto pick. If that just doesn't show you how much the papers don't have a fucking clue what's going on, then I don't know what does. Was there something interesting in these? Apart from that, that is. Yes, there was actually. Let me find it. There was a very interesting one. Talking about Januzaj. And this has only been given the tiniest bit of space. It's not in that one. Now, people are always saying to me, what's going on with Pereira? What's going on with Januzaj? Why bring Januzaj back if you're not going to play him? So this one is in the Sun. It's under Karen Lawrence's article about David De Gea. And it's got three paragraphs. And I'll read them out for you. Adnan Januzaj was axed from Louis van Gaal's plans after accusations of showboating. The Manchester United kid, 21, and teammate Andreas Pereira tried to score directly from corners during a January under-21 clash with Sunderland. Staff are believed to have reported it to LVG, who is strict on stars being team players. Januzaj has played just 14 minutes since returning from Borussia Dortmund on loan, and Pereira has made 5 sub appearances this year. Do you know what? I was at the Sunderland game, and I've mentioned as well in several videos that Pereira looks bored at under 21 level. He's far too good for this level, and he's doing things like kick-ups and stuff on the pitch, because he is. Whether or not he tried to score directly from a corner, he may well have done. He may well have actually done it as well. I think, yeah, I'm sure I've seen him try or actually achieve pulling it off from a corner. I've just imagined it, but I'm pretty sure I have seen him do it. If that's the case, then that's the case. If they've been told not to do that and they've done it, then, well, they've got their own fucking selves to blame, haven't they? But that there is no other possible reason for me why Pereira, at least, maybe not Januzaj so much, but Pereira, at least, should be playing based on purely on ability. So the reasons for him not in the side could well be this. This could well be the reason that Pereira is not in a starting 11. He's not been given a chance, despite so many around him being given opportunities. The guy scores goals. The guy is bound to be an absolute nightmare. The guy's a wonderful footballer. Everything that you can level at him. I think he is bored at under 21 level. Perhaps that's why he's doing a bit of showboating. Obviously, it's more news to talk about Januzaj than Pereira. For the outsider, for the neutral, they don't really know Pereira. Us from within the club, we think Pereira is that little bit more exciting. The pair of them need to get their act together, don't they? And if, as expected, Mourinho does come in, they're both going to have a fight on their hands to get into the starting 11 on a consistent basis. So they need to just fucking butt their ideas up and do whatever Louis van Gaal's asking them, I think. I think that'll do for this morning. It is now 12:45, which means that I'm going to wrap up, upload this, and piss off to Old Trafford, where Manchester United are about to take on Everton, and hopefully get our top four chances back on track ourselves. West Ham dropping points yesterday means that we've got to keep the pressure upon City, who I am sure, when the time comes, have got it in them to crumble. So thank you for watching. Drop me a subscribe if you don't already. Hit me up with a like. Let's talk about steroids in sport and football if you want. Between us, between the thousands that are probably going to watch this video, there will be people that know stuff. Now, you don't have to drop any names in there, but if you do know of anything that's going on and would like to discuss it more with me, because I am looking to make more videos on this, then please get it in the comments or contact me via Twitter or something like that, and I'll happily talk to you about it, because I think this is a problem that needs discussing and people are sticking their head in the sand and completely fucking ignoring it. Anyway, thank you for watching. Subscribe, like, comment, you know the drill. And I'll see you after the match for a post-match review. Laters.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.